is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hey, this is Brendan Winters from Pro Skills Basketball, and you are listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Hey, Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Where do you hit the backboard for the highest percent shot? And when is it an advantage to use the glass over a direct shot? Like, how could it be that this game has been in existence for over 100 years and these answers aren't there?
Vinny Felbo is the inventor of the Shoticle, a training aid that mounts on your backboard to give you the exact location where you must hit the glass for greater success. The Shoticle is based on research conducted by a team of professors that ran millions of computer simulations to identify the highest percentage shots, and the research was tested and confirmed by players at many levels. The researchers concluded that the highest percentage shot is provided by a vertical aim line behind the backboard that intersects with a series of aim lines on the plane of the backboard. The Shoticle is mounted in these given locations to provide the highest percentage shot with a very clear intersection point. Vinny took these research findings and created the Shoticle to help shooters at all levels of the game shoot a higher percentage and score more. We recently launched the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our experienced team of head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Our roster of shows is growing, so don't forget to check out all our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, and our team-focused NBA podcasts, Cavaliers Central, Grizz and Grind, Knuck If You Buck, The 305 Culture, Blazing the Path, and Hashtag Lakers. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us at info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. If you've never seen the Shoticle, it would help you to jump over to shoticle.com and watch the one-minute video first so you can see the Shoticle in action before you listen to this episode with Vinny Felbo, the inventor of the Shoticle. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. I am here with my partner, Jason Sunkel, and we are pleased to welcome to the podcast this evening from Shoticle, Vinny Felbo. Vinny, welcome. We are excited to learn more about Shoticle and what you've been able to create that is going to impact players who want to become better shooters and use the backboard. So let's start out, Vinny, by talking a little bit about what Shoticle is and why you feel it's going to be a game changer for shooters out there.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having me. I've been looking forward to our conversation. The Shoticle, quite simply, is a training aid for players to learn how to use the backboard properly. There are a lot of misconceptions out there about how to use the backboard. Millions of computer simulations were done to identify the highest percentage shots off the glass. And the shoticle is just the apparatus that you put on those boards to be able to identify those target areas for your highest percentage shots.
So when you're thinking about having somebody utilize this product, and I'll talk a little bit about my experiences with it in a little bit, but when you put it up onto the backboard and somebody goes out to utilize the product and shoot the ball off the glass, where do you anticipate this being the most used the most? Do you think it's going to be with teams like in a high school setting, junior high setting, middle school setting, or do you think this is more a product that would appeal to someone working at home, putting it up on their rim at their driveway?
That's a great question. And I like to say that the shoticle is for everybody from beginners to next level athletes. I've done it, you know, with my own son. He started when he was 10 years old out in the driveway. A lot of people could do it that way. And I've also used it with the professional team that we have here in Rochester, New York. We have a team in the Premier Basketball League called the Rochester Razor Sharks. And I introduced it to the guys there because their CEO wanted to be a part of what was going on. And many of them were really turned on to it as well. So I think it could be used for anybody. There's definitely different advantages for different age levels. The younger kids getting started really seem to like it most. It seems to be a little bit more difficult for adults that had a lot of playing experience to make the transition. And again, it gets back to that idea that there are a lot of misconceptions out there, and guys have already developed muscle memories, taken some shots that they've mastered pretty well. So even though they're not high percentage shots, they're able to make them pretty regularly because all the practice and effort they've put into it.
All right. So what makes a shot off the backboard more unconventional? In other words, you have this perception of the white square is up there. That's what I should use to try to hit the backboard to get a shot to go in. But I know from having conversations with you and then using the shoticle myself that that is not always the case. So maybe explain to people what types of shots are maybe a little unorthodox or a little bit different than what people's perceptions are, especially as you talked about with a player who's spent hundreds or thousands of hours already shooting. How can they make the adjustment or benefit from the shoticle?
Exactly. There are a lot of people that have mastered various shots. The glass, for some reason, has fallen from favor, which surprises me a little bit with, you know, a guy like Tim Duncan being a Hall of Famer who was living off the glass so well. But it could be used down in low post areas. We saw Tim Duncan have a lot of success with the glass in the inside, but it also is good for shots a little bit further away. The sweet spot tends to be about 60 degrees toward the corner. So for the sake of conversation, if we say 0 degrees is right in front of the hoop, like on the foul line, and you start swinging toward the corner where that would be 90, if you get over 35, 45, 55, 60 degrees is where you have the highest percentage shot off the glass. You would get almost a 20% advantage off the glass in those areas as opposed to taking a direct shot.
Why do you think, and I'm curious, and I have my own theories, but I'm curious why you think that players don't use the backboard as much as the statistics say that they should? I think for me, when I think about it, it just seems like there's such an allure of the swish that going off the backboard somehow seems like it cheapens the made shot for some reason. I think in kids' minds especially, that swish is such a powerful sound and something that we all know and love, that I think maybe that is what gives the backboard a bad rap. When I think of the backboard, I think of the guy you mentioned, Tim Duncan. And then going back in time, I think of George Gervin, the Iceman, as being a guy who always would use the backboard. And it seemed like there was more players that shot the ball off the backboard in the past than there are today. And of course, a lot of players, especially on players that we watch on TV from the NBA or even college players, because they're shooting so many threes, a lot of times it's difficult to use the backboard from that far out. So you have these mid-range shots that if players would use the glass, man, they would really benefit from.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think part of it too, just goes back to the simple fact that guys don't know how to use it. So it's not only the allure of how great that swish is and how it sounds, you know, so cool as it goes through, but guys just don't know how to use the glass. And I think what makes it even more difficult is a lot of players at young ages are taught how to use the board incorrectly. And so they're trying to hang on to something that they were taught incorrectly, and they're not having success with it, and therefore they abandon it. And when they start making shots, you know, taking those direct shots and they're having success with it, why would they go back to using the board? So I think if guys were introduced to using the board properly, they would have higher shooting percentages off the board than taking the direct shot, and they probably would stick with it.
All right. So when you talk about utilizing the shoticle, and let's focus for a little bit here on a player who's just starting out. So we're talking about an 8, 9, 10-year-old basketball player who is going to purchase the shoticle, put it up on their basket, and is going to try to utilize that to be able to help them to be a better shooter. What recommendations would you have for somebody who is of that age level, let's say a beginning player to a player who maybe has a little bit of experience? How would you recommend they use the shoticle in terms of practicing and getting used to it?
The best way to get started is first to shoot directly in front of the hoop, probably about 6 feet away, 6 to 8 feet away, just to get used to using the board, and then to move off to the side, 45 degrees, 60 degrees, and take shots from there. Reason being, that's the sweet spot. In that area is where you're going to see 20% more makes, shooting off the glass than you would taking direct shots. And that's where I think younger players would be encouraged to continue using the glass, because they're going to experience that success. And actually, that's the age group that I was working with when I started doing the research on the shoticle. Before it was called a shoticle, or before I knew what it was going to be, that's the age group I was working with that was struggling with their shooting, and I really wanted to help out.
All right, let's dive into some of that research. And then after we do that, I want you to give people a description of what exactly the shoticle is and what it looks like for someone who's going out to take shots. But let's focus on the research first. Give us an idea of where you got your research, what your research found, and then how you use that to create the shoticle.
Sure, absolutely. Should I tell you a little bit about some of the research I was doing that led me to Dead Ends that might be of interest to the audience as well?
Absolutely.
Let me start there, because the reason why I got into this is because, you know, just like most guys, that were getting back into basketball, I was doing it because I was coaching my son's youth basketball team, and I just wanted to help him out and help out some of his teammates, and I wanted to make sure I was giving them a good, strong foundation getting going. I played basketball up to the varsity level in high school, and I wasn't a great shooter, but I wasn't a terrible shooter. I was just your average kid, and so I knew when I started coaching that I was going to ask other guys for help, get some insight from them. And I abandoned basketball to play baseball. I played Division I baseball in college, so I really appreciated what it took to be a good athlete and the work that was involved. And I had some really good experiences with good coaches that made me realize the value of having good instruction. So I was helping the kids, and they were just shooting terribly. And I was struggling as to what I was going to be able to do to teach them properly. And the first thing I did was I brought a hoop in that we could hold, just about 4 feet off the ground, to show the kids how softly they have touched the ball off the glass in order to make the shot, and they had success. And I realized that if I could teach them properly, that they were going to have success. And I was standing there watching them in their shooting drills, and I thought, well, I just have to teach them where to hit the glass. Now that they know how softly they have to hit it. And I had this awareness that I didn't have any idea how to properly use the glass. And I was thinking about what I had been told and what I had heard about, using the white box and getting it in the white box and hitting the corner of the box or using the line of the box and all these different things. And they just didn't seem to work very well. And it was obvious if I was, driving down the center and tried to hit the corner of the box, that shot wasn't going in. So I started asking guys, knowing I got into this, I was going to ask guys with more experience. I started asking guys that played college ball, a lot of the guys that had really good careers in high school, guys that were coaching varsity teams. I started saying, how do you use the glass? Came down to two questions. Where do you hit the backboard? And when do you use the glass over a direct shot? And I couldn't get an answer. So my research just started out anecdotal, asking, my buddies, friends, colleagues, people that I knew were in the game. And I was getting different answers. And it started to get to a point where some people started getting frustrated, saying, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean, where do you hit the glass? You just take shots and you develop a sense of where to hit it. I said, no, if you had a laser pointer, if we stood right here on the court, could you say, hit that spot and it's going in? If your arms were long enough, just touch the glass and say, shoot right here, where's it going in? And I couldn't find anybody that could tell me. So the first place I went where I thought I was going to get the answer, you know, after speaking to people, was to look at the research that James Naismith did. Most of your listeners are probably familiar with James Naismith, who invented basketball at the YMCA. He hung a peach basket up for kids to play basketball, and he was looking for an alternative to football. And I thought for sure if I read about what he did that I would find the answer. And funny enough, when he did that, he hung that peach basket up on the balcony and there was no backboard. So the backboard was never intended to be a part of the game. There wasn't one. So I realized there was no way I was going to find out how the backboard was supposed to be used, given the fact one wasn't there. And the funny part about it is when the backboard went up, it was not intended for player use. The backboard went up because there were other people at the YMCA that were interfering with the game that were up on the balcony trying to swat the ball away when people were playing. So the first backboard was actually made of chicken wire, and it was put up there to prevent spectators from interfering with the game. So it's no surprise that a lot of people didn't know how to use the board properly because it wasn't for the players. It continued to evolve from there because when the board became wood, it was because players at the YMCA were kicking off the wall and getting an extra advantage, kicking off the wall because the hoop was right next to the wall. So when they extended it out away from the baseline, that's when it became wood and players started using it even more. But nobody ever had a target up there as to how to use it properly. And in all my research, I haven't found the origins of that white box, which I think is the main problem that we have and why people have not conducted this research sooner or learned how to use the board better, because people think they have the answer. And once they think they have the answer, they stop looking for it. But I had no luck with, the history of the game helping me out with the development. But I just found that fascinating that the board was never intended for player use.
I never heard the chicken wire story. I knew there was not a backboard in the original game. The other thing that comes out of that story too is the only reason why the basket's 10 feet is because that's how high the balcony was that Naismith hung the basket up on. But I had never heard that the first backboard was created from chicken wire. So you stumped me for sure on that one. And yeah, I think it's interesting that, obviously all games evolve and change in certain ways. But when you think about the backboard and how fundamental it is to the game today, the fact that it wasn't part of the original game is really very interesting. So where did your research take you next?
So the next thing I thought, there was no way I was going to be able to speak to James Naismith, obviously.
Unless you had a Ouija board and did a seance, maybe.
Exactly. So you couldn't get back to the source. So I thought, who would be the best guys to talk to? And obviously Tim Duncan would be one of them, right? Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, some of the greatest players ever, some of the greatest players in the game today. And since I couldn't just pick up the phone and talk to them or go see them on their home courts, I started to watch video of them. So there I was late at night after my wife and kids were in bed, sitting there going through video footage of games and watching where they would hit the glass. And it really struck me how often, Tim Duncan in particular was using the glass and not putting the ball in that box that was on the backboard. And he was knocking down shots, and there seemed to be patterns, but I just couldn't understand them. And the more NBA footage I watched, the more I realized that white box was not the answer. But I couldn't come up with, a schema to explain exactly where they were hitting the board. And there were different types of shots that guys were making. But I couldn't outline it. I was looking for like that formula, that diagram, and I just couldn't put that together. So without that, and knowing I wasn't going to be able to get access to these guys and say, hey, this is Vinny from Rochester, New York. I just want you to tell me how to use the backboard. I figured the only way I was going to be able to do it was to try and figure it out on my own, which might seem a little bit ridiculous, but instead of, trying to take shots to figure it out, I sat down with pencil and paper to try and determine where the ideal locations would be. My formal study as an undergraduate was in math, and my master's degree was in information technology. So, computer science related stuff. I did a lot of programming. So I sat down and said, this is something that is not a trivial problem, but clearly there's a pattern here to be discovered. And the way I've explained it to people when I'm in person is if I take the ball and I hold it up, let's say I'm holding a ball at 6 feet and I let it go, how high is that going to bounce up? You know, just take a guess. Is it going to my waist, my knees? But I'm going to drop it from 6 feet. How high is it going to go up? You're not going to say it's at my ankles, and you're not going to say it's bouncing over my head. You know, about how high it's going to bounce up, and it's about halfway. You know, and there's a name for that. They call that the coefficient of restitution, the way a ball bounces when there's a collision. A baseball would drop up 32% of its drop height. A soccer ball would come up 40%. A basketball comes up 56%. You know, but it's basic physics, right? Like, there are patterns here. These are the inviolable laws of science, right? Like, there is a way that ball is going to behave every single time. It's not going to bounce up, you know, halfway one time and then go over your head the next. And in addition to that, the material of the ball doesn't change during the game. So there's going to be a frictional coefficient with the way that that hits the glass. So I sat there and I tried to figure out, like, what are all these issues I need to resolve? You know, what I realized after spending a little bit of time was it was just crazy to try and do that all on my own. You know, and not to mention, it's not nearly as much fun as going in the driveway and shooting hoops, right? Like, you're sitting there with a blank piece of paper and a pencil. I mean, your listeners are going to say, get this guy off the show and never bring him back if he's going to start talking about math and stuff, right? So that was definitely not the way to do it. But what I realized is someone must have done this, right? Like, this game has been in existence for over 100 years. So I was just incredulous that I was the first guy to ask those questions. Where do you hit the backboard for the highest percentage shot? And when is it an advantage to use the glass over a direct shot? Like, how could it be that this game has been in existence for over 100 years and these answers aren't there? You know, I realized, you know, it was a physics problem. That's what it was. So I was going about it the wrong way. I wasn't going to find it in the history of the game when the backboard was not designed for player use. And I wasn't going to be able to discover it just watching other guys because they had success. That wasn't going to be you know, a way for me to be able to identify the answer, even though I could appreciate what they did. So I started doing searches on, you know, physics related stuff in basketball. And I found a gentleman who actually had conducted the research. What he did was millions of computer simulations to try and identify the best locations to use on the backboard. And his work was inspired by a college coach by the name of Larry Hunter that was at Western Carolina University. And the professors that did this were at North Carolina State. They were mechanical engineers and aeronautical engineers. There were a team of them headed up by a gentleman by the name of Larry Silverberg. And I thought to myself, you know, this is where I'm going to find my answer. I finally have the help I need. You know, these are the guys that are going to have the answer. You know, if they could figure out how to keep planes in the air and the shape of the wings and all that other stuff, they could figure out how to make a ball hit a board and go in the hoop. So that's where I was able to get some pretty clear-cut information about the exact locations on the board that you needed to use. And they outlined it very well.
All right. So what do those shots look like in comparison to what the traditional teaching would say of hit the corner to the square and the ball is going to go in? What did the research say that contradicted what would be the traditional way of teaching players to shoot off the backboard?
Exactly. So surprisingly, the areas that you need to hit are much higher than that white box and they're off at angles. So for your listeners today that want to get a picture, they could head over to the website, you know, at www.shotical.com. And there's actually a research link, and I put in some documentation, you know, some of the pictures that they had in the original research that explains how it's done. And you could see a picture where there are two main parts. One is there is what they called in the research an aim line. Every time you shoot off the glass, you should be directly in a line that is exactly 3.326 inches behind the glass. So if you could imagine a target behind the glass, you're always going to shoot at the same line. And then in addition to that, they had a series of aim points that would form like a V on the glass. There's a horizontal line at the bottom of the V, but just imagine a V from what would be the top of the white box going up toward the corners of the backboard. And the locations that you would hit would be on that V where they cross that rod behind the backboard, that aim line behind the board. So it's kind of tough to picture. But in short, Mike, the locations people need to be using are much higher than they're currently using. They need to get the ball up with arc, and they need to hit higher on the glass, and that's where they're going to have the greatest success. And once you start using it, you realize guys are using the glass incorrectly because they're taking flat shots to try and hit that box because it's so low. So it's much higher up.
All right. I think there's two truths to be told right there. One is when you think of a player shooting the ball off the backboard, typically, especially if you're talking about somebody taking a jump shot, almost always that player is shooting, as you described, a flat shot. And there are some guys like Duncan maybe who have mastered those flatter shots because, again, they've simply just put in so many reps that they're able to overcome the fact that they're not hitting the board in an optimal location. But then I think about guys, the person that keeps popping into my head is a guy like Kyrie Irving who gets to the basket and finishes in all these different ways and is typically finishing layups in such a way that it's not the right-handed layup line, go in, hit the corner of the square, and drop the ball into the basket. It's he's taking the shots from all these different weird angles, but yet so often you'll hear announcers saying he put it in high off the glass. And I think that what the research shows and what you've been able to demonstrate with the Shotticle is that even though people think of those shots and be like, wow, how does he do that? What he's actually doing is what everybody should be doing, which is taking shots that are hitting the backboard higher. And then I know one of the things that you mentioned to me when we first started having conversations about this is that you have to hit the backboard. You have to hit these spots with good arc on your shot. It's not a line drive shot that you're firing off the ideal spot to hit. It also has to be accompanied by the proper arc. So just talk a little bit about how important that is to not only hit the spot, but to have proper arc on your shot when you're hitting the backboard.
I will. And just to step back to something you mentioned there, it was very important about Kyrie, and people say, you know, he's high off the glass and they're acting like that's a big deal. It's only a big deal because other people are not doing it. He's doing it correctly. And I mentioned that, you know, it's for everybody from beginners to next level athletes, and our local premier basketball team used it. When I was introducing the guys to it, a lot of them listened very intently, and a lot of them wanted to get up and try it out, and they liked it. And there were a couple of them that just kind of stood there nodding. And I looked at them and said, so you already know this, don't you? And one of them, who was, you know, first team all-star, Devon Gavin, they called him Hood. He was a great player. He kind of nodded, and I said, Hood, how'd you know? And he said, Kyrie and Kobe. And he just stood there nodding his head like, well, of course, you know, that's what Kyrie and Kobe do, and so that's what I'm going to do. And I started paying attention to him more in his games, and he took a lot of shots that were high off the glass. I'm not a big man, Mike. I wasn't able to play basketball because I was tall. I was usually fast, but, you know, Hood was like that. Hood was 5'10", and he was playing professional basketball with a lot of big men, and he was going high up off the glass. That's the correct location. So you're right. Kyrie's doing it right. But back to your question about the importance of the arc. It just makes sense, right? If you could shoot the ball however you would like, the perfect shot would be able to levitate up above the hoop and float there so you could shoot it straight down, right? I mean, who would argue with that? You want to be directly above it so you could just drop it straight down. That's the perfect place to be. So the higher you could get that ball up to get it coming directly down is going to be your best angle. And the only way to do that is with arc. So a lot of guys in the game right now, they've mastered some shots that are not high percentage shots, but you'll see guys like go under the basket and do a reverse layup, and they put some English on the ball, and like they're hitting almost level with the rim, and the ball is going off the glass and up and into the hoop. I call it climbing over the rim. When I started paying attention to guys shooting, I used to look at it and say, oh, the ball's climbing over the rim. Like it's so low on the glass and it has to get up there. And guys do it well, but if you think about it, there's not a lot of margin for error there at all. So that's what it's about. When you start hitting up on the glass, you have a much larger margin for error. You could miss your spot and you're still going to make the shot because you're so much higher above. When you're doing that shot where it's climb up over the rim, you have to hit that perfectly. If you're a little bit low, that ball is not going up there. It's getting caught under the rim.
And I think there's also been a lot of research out there not only with shots off the backboard, but I know that it's been determined that the optimal arc for a shot that is not going to hit the backboard, but that's a swish, is around 45 degrees. And if you get too much above or too much below that, that your shooting percentage is going to drop. And as you said, it makes complete sense. When you think about taking a flat shot, you're just shrinking the opening that the ball has to be able to go in, and your margin for error is much less. So as you started thinking about all this research and trying to decide, okay, so now I have some, I'm armed with some knowledge. There's some things that I now know. How can I pass that along to, in your case, you were trying to work with kids who are 8, 9, 10 years old. How are you going to be able to get that information to them in such a way that they can actually utilize it? It's one thing for you to sit there and explain the math to an 8-year-old, but they're clearly not going to really be able to do much with that. So you needed something that was visual that they could use to be able to actually teach this. So talk a little bit about how the idea for the Shoticle came to you as you started to get this research into your mind and wrap your head around it. Did you have some false starts and things that you tried or ideas? Just give us the, I guess, the brainstorming that went into coming up with the product in the first place.
Yeah, there were absolutely some false starts. You know, taking on something like this, there are obviously going to be some roadblocks along the way. So I definitely need to persevere with, you know, multiple prototypes and testing. And I spent, you know, over a year coming up with some different prototypes and testing it out with different people. But the first one was just a matter of getting something that I could hang on the backboard that was going to show the kids those locations that they needed to make shots. So it started out, you know, just me in my shop with some wood and, you know, making a rod that I could hang behind the backboard to get it at that precise distance that was necessary. So they had a target behind the backboard, you know, and how I was going to be able to hang that up. And then a matter of getting some lines on the face of the backboard for that intersection point with that rod behind it. And it started off simple. You know, it was just, you know, a wooden rod with some blocks and some Velcro and some tape to put on the front. And I went back to practice early one night, and my friend Danny, who was coaching with me, was there. And he said, what's going on? And I explained to him, you know, how I thought things were going to work. And he said, I love it. And he was up on a ladder, and I was holding the ladder watching him, saying, you know, my poor buddy's going to get up here and get hurt trying to implement this crazy idea I have. So, I mean, it was definitely slow going, and, you know, I was scratching my head as to whether or not, you know, this was really a viable option. But, you know, we were talking through exactly where it needed to be, and I measured it off to make sure I had the dimensions correctly. And we brought a few kids over and said, you know, look at where that tape crosses that wooden rod behind the backboard, and you see that spot, that's where you need to aim. Hit that spot. You know, and at first, you know, with little kids, some of them, it's like they're shooting a chest pass off the backboard, you know what I mean? So I couldn't really take all the data that they were going to provide from their shots. But when the kids started putting the ball up correctly with arc, they were hitting those spots and it was going in. You know, so it was a really good feeling to see that I had encapsulated a way for the kids to be able to very simply look at the targets that they needed to learn how to use the backboard properly. You know, and there were some other people in the gym, because we were sharing gym time, and some of the other coaches were asking what was going on. And then as guys were coming in for the next practice, they were asking, and everybody sort of had that same sort of incredulous look. And, oh, that can't be right, because it's not where the white box is, you know. And then as more people tried it out, the more they liked it. And that's really the issue, right? You need to try it for yourself. You know, and even though I had seen these videos of these guys, these NBA players, where I was watching, I was like, yeah, that's what they're hitting. They're hitting all those spots in the research. I still wanted to try it out myself. You know, and that was the first prototype. It was just wooden tape. And so then I had to try and figure out a way to share it with other people, because I wasn't going to be able to have other people get up on ladders and measure things and do it all that way. So I started coming up with some different designs that they would be able to hang on the backboard, you know, both for the lines on the front as well as the way they were going to mount a rod on the back. And I invested a lot of time into how to mount them on the rims. And I was actually taking hardware off the back of various rims and mounting steel plates and aluminum rods behind the backboard so everybody would have those correct aim lines behind their boards. And I realized in not too much time that was not going to be a good answer, because when I started installing them for people, they were watching me, and just too many people said, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I was like, what do you mean you wouldn't use this? He's like, no, I wouldn't get up there on the ladder. I wouldn't, take the hardware off my hoop. So it was a matter of trying to find a way to distribute this so people could do it easily. And that's when I realized it really needed to be a product. This wasn't going to be something that I was going to do a YouTube video on and say, hey, I did this and I helped a bunch of kids shoot. And, it's now working for our varsity team in town, and this professional team has tried it out, and this is what you should do. I really needed a way to distribute it so people could do it easily. And that's how it evolved to a point where, I had to fit in a box that I could ship inexpensively. And now, you've worked with it, Mike. It comes in a nice retail carton, sold in stores. There's a mailer for people that order it online. It's a little simpler box, but the box is the same. It has that orange telescoping rod. It's a nice anodized aluminum rod. Mounts to the back of the board with a piece of aluminum and some dual lock, which for listeners that aren't familiar with dual lock, it's like that plastic Velcro, a lot of people call it. It's really strong, so it's easy to put up. I tell people you could put it up faster than you're going to clean your backboard. So when you get up there to like spray down the glass and clean it off, that's going to take you longer than it will to put it up there. And it is worked out well. I've been able to ship them to many different people, and they've had success mounting them without too much trouble.
All right. So before I get into my experience, I want to ask you, when you first put that prototype up on the backboard, what was the reaction of the kids, of the adults who tried it, in terms of the adjustment to just looking at something different and aiming at something that they had never aimed at before? What kind of response and feedback do you get? And then after you answer that, then I'll kind of jump into my experience.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. And again, I say you have to try it for yourself. That's really what's going to change people's opinion. You have to try it and have success. The reason why it's similar is because most people look at it and think, no way. That was my reaction. I didn't first see it hanging, obviously, because I had to create the prototype. But when I looked at the research, when you're all done reading angle of inclination and all this other stuff, in the end, I'm looking at a picture where this guy says, I need to hit the backboard. And I'm saying, no way. that's just not right. So I wasn't surprised when people in the gym were looking at it, and saying to me that there's just no way. That's it. Yeah, that's where you have to hit. Are you sure? Yeah. Try it. That's where you have to hit. But it quickly moves from no way to, wow, this is really good. This works. I mean, when you're shooting and you're making shots, that's a great feeling. That's why we play the game. So if somebody hands you an apparatus where you're going to score more, what's your reaction to that going to be? That's going to be pretty similar as well. That's cool. This is something I need. This is something I want to have for myself. So it's a pretty quick transition from no way to, I need one of these.
Do you know where to hit the backboard for the highest percentage shots? Do you know when using the backboard is better than taking a direct shot? Be certain that you are taking the highest percentage shots by training with the Shoticle. The Shoticle mounts on your backboard to give you the location of the highest percentage shots. Train with the Shoticle and you will score more. Basketball is a data-driven game, so don't ignore the data and the facts. We worry about the data so you can focus on shooting. Visit Shoticle.com now and start scoring more. So, all right, I'll share my experience with the Shoticle. Vinny was nice enough to ship one out to me so that I could try it out, and I was fascinated. I've always been a guy that, when I think back to my time, maybe not even as much in my organized basketball career, but I know on the playground that I like to go off the glass a lot, especially because growing up as a kid, I played a lot outdoors. And I guess I was of the mindset of that old school traditional way of learning how to use the backboard, that I felt like that line drive flat shot was one that could cut through the wind, and using the backboard was a way for me to be able to make shots. And yet at the same time, I'm also a big proponent and have, I think, a pretty good understanding of the fact that guys who are able to finish with different angles of layups, like we talked about with Kyrie earlier, frequently go off the glass and use the glass at non-traditional angles of what we would think, you know, using that square. So I went into it obviously with an open mind because I had already had conversations with you and looked at what you've been able to do. And so I was curious to see, one, just what it was going to be when it got here. Because you have a vision in your mind and I was on the website and looked at it, but I wanted to see, okay, first of all, how easy is it to put it up? That's number one. And so the answer to that question was it was pretty easy to put up. I had it up within probably 5 minutes, read the directions, which were clear, and got the thing up on my backboard here at home without much difficulty at all. And then for me, when I first started shooting, it was a little bit strange in terms of I'm looking at the backboard and there's this target up there that of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of shots that I've taken over the course of my basketball life, that V that makes up the shoticle and that rod behind it are, have never been part of my aiming process, for lack of a better way of saying it. So it took me a little while, and I'd say it took me 15 or 20 minutes of shooting to sort of acclimate myself to the fact of, okay, what is that thing that's up there and why again am I aiming at it and how do I get my eyes to focus there instead of where they traditionally focus? And then I think the other thing too is that for someone who's taken so many shots, and this maybe wouldn't be an issue with a kid who was learning how to do it, for me it was kind of like, again, the muscle memory of where my eyes look. I'm not even necessarily thinking anymore when I shoot about where my eyes are looking. It's just, I just kind of do it naturally at this point. So I kind of had to recalibrate and rethink about, okay, now I have to really consciously be aware of where I'm aiming. And once I did that, after 15 or 20 minutes, it was actually pretty amazing that this simple, simple solution of having this V up on the board along with the pole behind it, that I could utilize that as a target, and that if I hit that target, the ball was going to go in. Obviously, I still have to hit the target. I still have to be able to shoot the ball straight and have good shooting mechanics and all those things. But knowing where to aim and having that as a tool, I found it just to be fascinating. And again, I think if it's something that you talk about for a young player who's just learning how to shoot and just learning where to aim and just learning how to master the muscle memory required in a basketball jump shot or layup or whatever it is, to be able to have that visual reminder of this is where I should be aiming. To me, if I'm going to be out practicing and working on my shot in my driveway, in a gym, and I can have the shoticle up on that backboard, I just think it's one more tool that a player or a coach can have in their toolbox to help improve their player's shooting. And I was, again, pleasantly surprised by the experience that I had with it. Again, it's one of those, can you teach an old dog new tricks? And it didn't come instantaneously for me, Vinny, but after I shot for 15 or 20 minutes, I started to get a feel for, okay, I've got to aim here and getting my eyes used to finding a new target, one that I hadn't found before. So I think that for anybody out there who's thinking about trying it, I'd say, again, it's fascinating. And if you're really bent on improving yourself as a shooter, I think the shoticle is a tool that you definitely should consider. And I think it's pretty ingenious the way you came up with it, the statistics that you built behind it, and then to figure out exactly what that product was going to look like and how you were going to design it so that it would work no matter where you were on the floor, no matter what angle you were looking at the backboard from, that you would get that intersection where you should aim. To me, that was a stroke of genius to be able to come up with that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, and you're right about the simplicity of it. And it's patent pending right now. And that was one of the first things that my patent attorney said to me. He said, what's wonderful about this? He says, it's just so simple. You know, he says, this is just such a simple apparatus. And I think that, you know, there's beauty in simplicity. And I think because it's simple, that's the reason why people will be able to adopt it. You know, and I'm happy to hear it only took you 5 minutes to put it up. It doesn't take long. It took, like I said, it took a long time to get to that point. It was over a year of prototypes to find a way people would be able to install it quickly and get it to work. You know, and to me, 15 or 20 minutes of practice is not much given the quantity of basketball that you've already played. You know, you were able to make that shift pretty quickly. And in my mind, it's a question of, you know, what's your cost benefits ratio? So you have to put in, you know, 15, 20 minutes to be able to get a little bit acclimated to it. How much longer would it take before you were regularly using that instead of using your own target areas? Probably a little bit longer, but is it worth it if you're scoring another 4 to 6 to 8 points a game? You know, that's where the trade-off is. And in my mind, it's definitely worth it because the other part of it that you mentioned is about the statistics. This is really a device for analytics, right? Like right now, the game is just crazy with analytics and people are looking at, you know, how many threes people take and how many mid-range and what to do around the hoop. And the layup is still the most missed shot. I think I could share a little insight as to why that is with the targets people are using. You know, there's all this stuff going on with the analytics and nobody's really looking at the board. You know, but this kind of encapsulates a lot of math and science and research and simulations in a box, you know, with just a few parts that you could put up there and, you know, have a significant advantage.
Yeah, it is super simple. And it's one of those things that when I first discovered you and discovered the product, I really kind of had no idea what it would be. Like I got the theory behind it. But to be able to actually see it and experience it was something, it was very unique. And it was not necessarily what I would have expected had I just heard the explanation behind it. And as I said, the 15 or 20 minutes that it took me to get acclimated, it was, like I said, uncomfortable trying to shoot at it at first because my eyes just weren't used to seeing that target up there or trying to sight that target. But once I got used to it, it became much easier. And like I said, I think especially for someone who's just developing as a shooter, to me, if you want to be able to become a better shooter, and not just a better shooter off the backboard, but a better shooter overall, being able to have something that you can aim at that's going to give you a solid result time in and time out and is scientifically based, to me, that's completely invaluable.
Mike, as you start using it more as well, you'll also start to realize that identifying those locations comes more quickly. Because one of the things I noticed after using it a few times is that the location doesn't change if you don't change your angle. And what I mean with that is if you were to shoot like from the foul line, you're going to shoot directly over the hoop, right? You're not going to aim at a point of contact that is somehow like, you know, 2 feet to the right. That just doesn't make sense, right? So you're aiming directly over the hoop. If you move closer to the hoop or further away, right, whether you move 3 feet in front of the hoop, 4 feet away, five, go back to the arc, 3 feet behind the arc, your point of contact on the glass stays the same. So if you remain at the same angle, the point of contact's the same, which may seem obvious when you're in front of the hoop, but when you start getting off at angles, when you go over to the elbow, whether you move in or out, it's going to be the same shot. You know, if you go down to the low post, you know, say you're 60 degrees, you know, from the center point of the foul line, as you move in and out toward the hoop and away from it, it's going to be the same point of contact on the backboard. And it took me a few times, you know, using it before I started to realize exactly what was happening, but it starts to become even more second nature. And when I started doing this, my sons were young. You know, my one son who was playing basketball, I think he was 12. I think he was a sixth grader. You know, my other son was a fourth grader. So they were like 10 and 12 years old. And we were over, you know, a family member's house and they were outside shooting hoops in the driveway. And I said, I noticed you were using the board. You know, how are you doing that? And they said, well, you know, we really don't need to use the shot at goal. You know, once you use it enough, you know where those points are. So even at their young age, they were able to make that adjustment. You know, and again, it's just using it a few times, you start to recognize where those points of contact are, regardless of your distance from the hoop. And there are a lot of other things like that you start to discover too when you train with it.
Yeah, I can see that. It makes total sense that as you step back, as long as you don't change the angle, that your point of contact on the backboard isn't going to change. Is there anything else? You just mentioned a couple other things that are intuitive to what you've been able to do. Is there anything else that you can share on that front of things that you've learned over the course of working with this for a long period of time with a lot of different players at different age groups?
Yeah, I think the other thing that stands out that people comment on is how you really have two options. You know, if you're standing, I'm trying to think, like, let's use that 60-degree location again, if you can imagine where that is. If you take a direct shot from there at the hoop, it's going to be a much different trajectory than going off the board. So you have two different target areas that you could use. Off the board is going to be, you know, 20% better chance, but you have two different target areas. And I've had a few different people comment and say, hey, I like having another option. You know, your defender is not expecting you to be shooting off the board either as often as people start doing it once they've trained with the shoticle.
Yeah, I think the ability to shoot the ball from different angles, again, going back to a guy like Kyrie Irving, who has probably the most unorthodox finishing moves in the NBA at this point, is shooting the ball at different angles and from places that defenders aren't expecting. And that makes it easier for you to get your shot off as, in his case, a smaller player than most of the players that he's playing against. But you think about anybody, whether you're at the youth level or whether you're a professional player, if you have more angles and a variety of different ways that you can get your shot up and still have it go in, that has to be nothing but a huge advantage for players who have multiple positions that they can release the ball from. And I just think it's so interesting, the science behind it, and it's something that you can observe and watch and say, oh, this guy's really good at using the backboard and he shoots it creatively from different angles. But as you said, it's really not necessarily even a basketball problem. It's a physics problem. Now, for most players who use the basket and use the glass as creatively as Kyrie Irving does, it's more a case of he's just honed that ability and he's figured that out on his own. And basically what you're doing is you're giving players the cheat code to be able to do the same thing that Kyrie had to learn over the course of his entire lifetime of using the backboard and sort of perfecting those angles. You've kind of given people a game plan to be able to utilize and get those same types of shots up from different angles and still, as you said, have multiple options for how to get the ball into the basket, which I think is, again, something that the shoticle does really, really well.
You know, Mike, I think you said it perfectly too. You're the first person I've heard use those words, cheat code. But I think that sums it up really well, because it is like a cheat code in that you don't have to go out there and spend years and years practicing like other guys have to be able to know where those locations are. I'd like to share a little bit more about that with respect to a video I watched of some NBA players. But first, the other thing you mentioned was Kyrie using different locations on the board. And when you asked me the question about what else I've discovered, one of the things I've discovered is for smaller players like Kyrie, who gets creative, I've noticed that if I'm down low, and I can't really get a good arc up and off the glass, you could actually see the shoticle through the glass and shoot directly at it, and it'll go up and then arc up into the basket. And I don't know if I'm explaining that afterwards, but instead of the arc coming down into the board, you could actually hit that location, and it'll deflect off the board and then arc up into the hoop that way, which is the way I would have never shot without it. But getting back to the point of watching some other NBA players in the cheat code, once I had this research and I had the diagram, I went back to watching those NBA players in the NBA footage, and there was one video in particular that struck me. And if your listeners go out to shoticle.com to look at the research page, I actually embedded a video of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant shooting, and it's only 45 seconds, but every shot they take is going off the glass. And it's just amazing to watch, because if you imagine where the shoticle would be hanging on the backboard, every single shot that they take is going off of those ideal aim points. And they start off probably at about 45 degrees and they start moving toward the short corner, you know, the 60, you know, 65, maybe even 70 degrees. As they move toward the short corner, they're going up higher off the glass and more toward the side of the glass, and they just move back and forth. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. But you're right, it's like a cheat code, because I was watching that video as well as others before I found the research. And then afterwards, once I had the research and I looked at that same video, I said, wow, you know, that was right under my nose the whole time. And I didn't really notice, you know, the pattern to it all. You know, and the Shotico puts it up there and it gives you those exact locations that they're using. It's a cheat code. It's a perfect way to say it.
All right. So before we wrap things up and give you again another opportunity to share where people can find out more, see the research, follow you on social media, is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think is important or relevant for people out there to understand about the Shotico? And then once you share that, you can go back and go ahead and share out how people can find out more about it, where people can buy it, and learn more about the story behind the Shotico.
Sure. I do appreciate the opportunity to mention a few other things. I think that you covered it all. I think you hit the main aspects that are important with respect to using the Shotico. One other thing I'd like to share, though, is the importance of appreciating the analytics in the game right now and how it changes things and how beneficial it is. You know, the 3 was adopted, I think, in 1986, 1987. It was around the time of, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson getting started. And people didn't really adopt the 3 until like 25 years later with Morey Ball, you know, when Daryl Morey, you know, came up with the idea that people should be using more 3s. And it's kind of ironic that it took 25 years to realize 3 is greater than 2. You know, but Daryl Morey's background was in computer science, you know, and he also has an MBA from MIT. But what he did to change the game was not based on being on the court. It was based on research and analytics. And the game is just crazy with analytics right now, and the people that are adopting them are having an advantage. And a subtle advantage is a big difference. There's a gentleman by the name of Ben Taylor that wrote Thinking Basketball, and he talks about points per possession from different locations. And he has a stat in there that the average NBA championship team gets 1.1 points per possession, where a lottery team gets 1.0 points per possession. So you're looking at, you know, 1/10 of a point difference between 66% win and 33% wins. So people need to take advantage of subtle differences. They're going to give them an edge. And I think the Shotico is definitely going to give people that edge to be able to get, you know, 6, 8, 10, even 12 points a game more. You know, so for your listeners out there that do want to give it a try, because again, I understand and respect and appreciate the need to try. I did set up a discount code for all your listeners. So anybody that goes out to Shotico.com, and again, Shotico is Shotico. They get out to Shotico.com and type in Hoopheads for the discount code, and they'll get 20% off. So that they could try it out for themselves and see what it's like. And I just ask for anybody listening that if you do go out to the website, if you'd sign up for the email list, I could send out a little bit more information. I'll be sure to shoot something out soon regarding some of the additional research and some other facts about it for folks that are interested in signing up for it.
Very cool. Vinny, we cannot thank you enough for jumping on and the support that you've given us here at the Hoopheads podcast. And it's just been really interesting to be able to hear the story of how you came up with the idea and then working your way through the prototypes and then eventually coming up with a product that people can utilize to help them become better basketball players. And we all know that there's a lot of people out there in the world, kids and otherwise, that are trying to improve their shot and trying to get better. And this is a very, very simple tool that, as you said, takes advantage of the science, takes advantage of the analytics, which we all know that is the direction that the game is going, and rightly so. The better understanding we have of what's happening out on the court and what's happening with our shots and what's happening with offenses and defenses, that improved understanding is going to lead to improved play. And I think the Shotico plays right into that analytics trend. And I would highly encourage anyone who's out there listening, go try it out. Visit Shotico.com. Take advantage of the discount code that Vinny set up, use Hoopheads, get 20% off, try out the Shotico. I think you'll be very, very pleasantly surprised with the results. And I think it'll be, again, something that, especially if you have kids and you're a parent, maybe you're a coach who has your own kids, give it a shot and try it. Try it yourself. And I think you'll find that it's a fascinating thing to work on. And I think the long-term ramifications will be that you'll improve as a shooter. So again, Vinny, can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. Really, really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. If you have an existing podcast or are looking to launch your own pod but aren't sure where to start, the team at My Podcast Manager can help. Our podcast team works behind the scenes so you can do what you do best. We'll help you launch your podcast, make it sound great, and free up your time for the more enjoyable parts of podcasting. If you're ready to put your podcast editing, production, and promotion on autopilot with a trusted team of podcasting professionals, visit mypodcastmanager.com to get started.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.